Hello, it's Tyler. It's February 3rd, 2020. I found a room 301, a little yellow here today. That's okay. I just want to get this recording done. I actually done a recording last night, sort of as my week two reflection at the DMZ here, and I was using my wonderful Rode microphone, and I was actually I didn't I was at my new place, and so I didn't have my DSLR camera, and so I was using my phone. Had found, the setup. I sort of said it in the video, which you will not see, but you can buy this cable here, and it doesn't come with the original packaging. There's two separate cables, so I've got one right here, and then this one. You can plug this into your phone, gray side in, and then it will actually record directly through the microphone that you're using with this Bluetooth microphone. Pull it into the camera at really high quality. So I was really excited about that. I done a little test, there wasn't much battery power left on the Rode microphone. So at one point it cut out a little earlier than I thought, and then picked up no audio. So there's a video of me sitting there with no audio. And if there's any people who can read lips, maybe something worthwhile. But I canned it, and so I'm here right now on in the morning before work's really starting here, and just wanting to get this video done and build, for myself, build this practice, a self-reflective practice, while being at this DMZ program. And really trying to, document that experience for you if you are watching, listening, reading, also as a tool for myself, a way to reflect and look back. So, last week was really interesting. I met with a couple of the entrepreneurs and residences within the program. That was really, exciting experience for me. These are, people who have been really successful in business, and are taking time out of their lives to actually come in and mentor and guide entrepreneurs. So many of them being, maybe even all of them being, in some regard, not I guess not all of them, but have coming from, have gone through the DMZ and then giving back in a way. So really beautiful to do that. Some really intelligent people who are these entrepreneurs and residences, and I look forward to continuing to sort of like build relationships with those people, because they are here for a reason, and very many specialized in certain areas, whether that's growth and sales or legal and IP or software engineering. All these amazing opportunities to connect with some of the smartest people. Last week was also, I mentioned in the last video, if anyone is following this along, that we, was looking for a place, and we needed to find it before February 1st. We found that place. It's, in a way much, really nice, about 20-minute walk here to the DMZ. I did that walk this morning, and for the first time in 2 weeks, what I'm actually very excited about is I actually got to go to the gym. Found the good life, not too far away from the DMZ here, and man, it's a dungeon though. It's a little bit of a dungeon, and it's smaller. Like I was thinking it would be Toronto, it would be larger. It is tiny, and the gym at in London, that City Plaza, has much more space than this gym. Also, so it's the Bell Trinity one, no steam room. No sauna, as far as I've told. I don't think there are any, which is somewhat devastating. So I'm gonna see if there's one other one somewhat close by that I'm gonna check out to see if it has a steam room or sauna. But these are tough times without that right now. On the the move to Toronto continues. I have decided to not continue with my place in London, just to not pay for the double rent. And I spent this weekend really going through a lot of stuff, cleaning, organizing, packing, and that was a really sort of like emotional experience. I had spent almost 4 years there, most of that with a long-term partner who I have a lot of love for and continue to. And going through looking, packing all this stuff up, there was lots of memories that were coming up, and also a lot of garbage, a lot of things that I'm like, holy shit, why do I have this? I have not used this once in this entire time. And so it almost felt in a way very nice to sort of rid myself of some of that stuff as well too, and come back to the necessities of what I need. That weekend, I think, also it built in a lot of self-reflection for myself. You know, there's a lot of changes going on in my life. This is a very transitionary period, and at almost 28 years old, to be moving to a new city, working on a business the way that I'm working on it. That is a lot, and it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to take in, and I hope that I can have some time to sort of reflect on that. However, that time is really difficult to find right now. And whether it is being at the DMZ, whether it is, you know, running a team here, and having the, you know, the time deadlines, the financial deadlines, you know, documentation needed, all these things to make sure that we're successful, that really does take up a lot of time. So, you know, I'm questioning and you know, working on myself to understand, you know, if I'm putting all this time and energy, this financial investment, everything that I'm doing, then I've got to make sure that I'm in alignment with what I actually want to be doing. And, you know, that's something that I continue to think about and really have to get at my, you know, my core of, you know, why am I doing this? You know, what is the vision that I have, the purpose that I have? And if I'm not living that, then, you know, what am I doing, and what are my options here? So, one of the things that I'm, you know, really focused on here right now is making sure to get towards, you know, a viable, sustainable business, one that is breaking even, one that is profitable. I've invested a lot of money and time, as I've mentioned, into this, and it's time to make sure that I am taking care of the business and taking care of myself as well too. So there are going to be, I think, some hard decisions actually coming up over this next month and a half, and whether that's either raising money, decreasing cost. Like, you really only have two options, right? You increase revenue or you decrease costs. And, you know, for myself, the part that I care about though as well is that I'm not trying to bring in a bunch of customers, bring in a bunch of people to not do the work that's necessary, the work that they, expect, and the value that I hope to deliver with every person that I work with. And, you know, I think, you know, you can start off with a really big, you know, purpose. And then as the constraints of living in the world that we live in, and the financial constraints, and, you know, the goal to grow, and then to grow the team and then pay the team, that can really start to have conflicts with the original vision and goal that you're actually having. So, I know I've said this myself, but like, my original vision of what I am building here has sort of been a self-analysis tool to allow me to get a better understanding of my state of mind, the way that I'm thinking, the way that I'm processing things. And I was using a tool called Evernote to do that, and continue to use that tool. But what always confused me was that within Evernote there was never any insights given back to myself. So why, after, you know, almost, 7 years of documenting my thoughts, the things that I'm looking at, the stressors that I'm having in my life, why is it not giving me any insights back into myself? And that really, that gap has really sort of, consumed me in a way, and has, built the drive to try to build this product and build this this vision. However, that's a large undertaking, and in many cases is the viability of that is not always easy to recognize right away. And so sort of short-term moves that need to be made to make sure that you have the cash flow that you need, the money that you have, to make sure that you're operating to your full capacity, and then moving towards, in the long term, the solution that you want to do. One of the things I've been thinking a lot about has been, though, a great developer I watched go speak here in Toronto, and he, talked about when you design something or when you develop something, you're really, you're saying no to things. And And that's a really fascinating thing for myself to think about, because, you know, in the past, and I still do this today, you know, people would present me with some problems, a lot of times around marketing, a lot of times around like online acquisition, analytics. And, you know, based off that, I would, you know, sort of like diagnose them, you know, put a quote together and proposal with a variety of different activities, and then go ahead and do those activities. Now, that can be a really powerful way to make money in the short term. You know, service businesses are great because some of those costs are relatively low and mostly just you know, intellectual property and knowledge that's been built up over several years. But they also can spread you thin. Every project is in some ways a little bit more custom, and it's not as repeatable and scalable as, you know, a product software. So that's the, you know, I think so many people have the vision, if you're in a service model, that you can actually build something that, becomes valuable enough that people will pay for it on their own. And I think that is a beautiful vision, and one that is worth you know, striving for. One that is also, I think, very difficult to accomplish. So you know, we continue to have a mix of this service, you know, consultative role, and also the more product-based business that we continue to work on. You know, if there were opportunities to, you know, step back a little bit and say, you know, Tyler, you would want to, you know, how could you do this better? I think, you know, you hear it all the time, but the idea of like a minimal viable product becomes so important. And, you know, the system that we've built is beautiful, and it's wonderful, but it's also large and it's complex and it's hard to explain sometimes. And, you know, we've built a couple things recently, even that to me have shown more capacity to like really indicate like the power of what we're doing very quickly, instead of what sometimes has taken, you know, 25 minutes, even longer than that, to actually explain. And that's really something that I am trying to actually get rid of, the length of time that it takes to understand the value. Right now, that's not currently reflected on the website, I don't think. It's not reflected in the messaging. And really, a lot of that comes down to time constraints to really properly put the place things in place to actually do this right. And you know, you can continue to push, you can continue to you know, make, you know, do, like for myself right now, it's because I'm taking on these service contracts, those are eating up a lot of time. And so sometimes I don't have enough time to actually dedicate to the product side of the business, defining, you know, everything there, and then making sure that we do get that message across very quickly, easily. So I have to continue to carve out time that is, you know, relatively hard to find. And, you know, it comes back to myself now actually needing to say no to things. So whether that's conversations that I don't believe are, you know, driving growth within the business, or whether that's, you know, it's terrible, like not spending time with friends, family. You know, you have to you know, really find time in areas that are not always things that you want to take away. And that's been a really difficult realization for myself, even coming down to Toronto right now. You know, I am leaving my family, a lot of my friends, the, you know, community at Innovation Works that has given me so much support, and especially in a time where my grandparents are aging, and people who have cared for me more than anything, and I am, you know, taking time away from them. So apologize for a little bit of noise in the background. Sounds like we've got some construction going on. I'm trying to think, like, what else, you know, I'm trying to, I It's going to be really interesting to watch these weeks back, because there is such an ongoing process actually being part of it, and every, you know, day unwrapping, you know, and finding, you know, discovering new information, whether that's feedback from clients, whether that's talking to EIRs who are, you know, very impactful when you speak with them, whether that's defining objectives and goals through the DMZ and then trying to understand how you can actually get to those goals. And then, you know, for us right now, reflecting back on January and what that actually looked like. So we're having a team meeting here in a little bit, and you know, I'm taking on, you know, I said in 2020, I have to take on more of an assertive role that is, you know, necessary for being effective in the way that we're doing things. And, you know, I will have to take that on today. And, you know, it's been interesting as I've looked back. I've got a couple of video clips of myself from the DMZ on the orientation day. And, you know, in a way, I watch those videos back, and I think maybe most people wouldn't think that, but I don't like them. I feel I look a little hollow in the video. I look a little bit tired and worn out, and that I'm, you know, doing things to just do them. And that's not a feeling that I like. It made me give a feeling, a need for reflection, for reassessment. And that's an important thing to do in any situation. And so that's a hard thing to do when you're, you know, moving at a quick pace, when you're, you know, in a program like the DMZ where there's expectations put upon you. And, you know, I need to be, have a sort of a careful balance in way that I approach, you know, the way that I'm, you know, thinking about that video, thinking about, you know, just how I'm feeling in general as the leader of the company and the owner of the company as well too. So, this is sort of, you know, the week two update. I don't know how long I've been recording for, 16 minutes. Classic. I should have said, I should have looked before I asked. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Got a couple of presentations coming up. One that is a workshop for Fanshawe Corporate Training, where I'm going to be talking about like driving sales and through websites. That's, you know, something that I've, you know, really enjoyed speaking about in the past. But as I've, you know, continued to grow personally, and then also with some of the work that I'm doing in the space right now, it feels a little bit away, and it's like lagging behind on what, you know, on what I'm fully focused on and interested in today. However, I'm going to teach that and lead the workshop as passionately as I always have. And as soon as I get there, I know that I'm going to enjoy it, because I love seeing people learn and, you know, share their experiences as well too. And, you know, that's been such a blessing and honor in my life, and one that's prepared me for so many of the things that I'm doing right now. I've also got a panel on AI coming up on like data security and privacy, and that's in London for Tech Alliance, and you know, there should be quite a few people there. I'm really interested to see what some of these questions on this panel is going to be. And as someone who's building technology, and, you know, includes artificial intelligence within that, you know, I have a lot of reservations. I have a lot of things that I'm thinking about personally that I'm not so, you know, impressed with or so sure about. And there's a long ways to go with artificial intelligence in terms of technology and the capacity that it has to do some of the things that we wanted to do as people. But I think it also has a long way to go in terms of privacy and security. And I think many people underestimate the amount of information that they're giving up, amount of, you know, just information in general that's being captured right now and can be, you know, indexed and then completely, you know, found at any time and reached. So whether that's, you know, facial recognition, whether that's, you know, now what we're seeing is, you know, basically voice DNA, where if, you know, if a certain amount of time is captured through voice, that can be basically completely understood that it's you. And so, those are things to actually consider. And, you know, some things that I will be talking about quite explicitly and honestly and openly as someone who has spent some time in this space. I think that's really all I've got. It's Monday, so I would usually like to do these on Friday, but it also has left me a little bit time to reflect, and I had to drive home on Friday and had some late meetings as well too. So there's only sometimes you can get the opportunity, and it's about, again, making that time. And then last week got a little chaotic towards the end as we ended up, you know, moving and then having to come home to London for the weekend to get some more stuff. So okay, I think that's it for me. This will be, I've recorded this on video with my DSLR camera. I'm using a Camlink 4K, which is a pretty awesome little tool and allows you to, basically plug directly into a laptop and record in high quality through the DSLR, pull it in. I'm using OBS to then capture the video. And then I've got my Rode microphone with the Bluetooth actually pulling in the audio, merging that into one stream, and then turning that into an MK4V, which I'm probably upset about. I probably should have made it an MP4. I think it actually might be an MP4. But this is a beautiful system. It took me a couple minutes to set up today, but once it's set up, I can just sort of sit here, talk, and share. And I hope to do more of that. Hopefully next time there won't be as much hammering going on. I know one of the things that I'm looking towards doing more is, basically some more YouTube videos, but then also I think there's a really great opportunity right now in like LinkedIn video, LinkedIn live streaming, and you can actually apply to be a broadcaster on LinkedIn. And so that's something that I'm going to spend some time and actually move forward and do here as well too. So if you are on LinkedIn, maybe I'll see you in the future. I won't share this video to LinkedIn, probably sort of long. Sometimes too self-reflective, and I leave this for people who can actually find it and are interested in this journey. If I wanted to promote this better, what would I do? I would shorten the clips. I would cut these into small clips, and then I would most likely caption them, and then I would share them across multiple platforms with a link back to either the YouTube page or my website with the YouTube page embedded on it. One of the other things that I've noticed is just how powerful publishing podcasts from an RSS feed on your website actually is. All these links push back to that website, and you can you can rank very quickly. So like Tyler Bryan Week, DMZ1, you can basically, I think that's what's looking at behind me, DMZ Week 1, is already, like, if you type in Tyler Bryan DMZ Week 1 or DMZ Week 1, should be already sitting on the top of Google for those results because of the YouTube link, the RSS feed, and then I'm pointing it back, hosting that all on my website. So, as I continue to, build this application and software, it's really, a culmination of all the things that I've learned and seen and some of the best practices that seem to work in rapidly ranking like people right now. And, so many of us are looking for discoverability. So many people are trying to find an audience and are fighting for attention. And if there's ways to, rapidly increase that capacity, I think that is something really exciting. But how much of an investment am I willing to make to get towards that level? And then, how quickly will those things change? So maybe that this system that's currently working with the YouTube RSS feed, the transcription attached below, maybe that's a really powerful stack right now, but that could change relatively soon. Or maybe other weights or hierarchies will be put in search engines or social media engines, whatever that is. Even the captioning piece, we've seen so much, but why isn't Instagram just doing automatic captions for you? Why are they forcing people to make their own captions? There's a lot of interesting questions right now and a lot of things at play. And, one of the things that I had thought about has been, heard a lot about, listened to a podcast yesterday on it, and multiple variations of this, but you know, red ocean versus blue ocean, or 0 to 1. Like, you know, you can't just necessarily make process improvement or product improvements. You can make a business out of that. But if you really want to be a successful business in terms of having some impact, then you need to go against the consensus. You need to find areas that people do not yet agree on, and build something there, and then make people see that consensus. So that's something that I'm thinking about. We've built a system that really can improve a process for a lot of people. But are we completely differentiating yet? And there are a couple ways that I think we already are, some really cool things that we're working on. But that's a question that I consistently ask myself and need to if I want to get out of this, you know, what I want to see. So I had sort of a hurtful comment from someone that I care about deeply, sort of ask, you know, like, why am I doing this? And they sort of said, you know, you're doing it for the money. And that's not true. And that sort of hurt. It made me, again, sort of reflect on what I'm doing. And then also, what am I communicating to people? Is that what people think? Because if that's the case, that doesn't sit well with me. I think that's all I got. Thank you for joining me here. This is DMZ week 2. I've got some updates I'm sure that will be coming at the end of this week, and things are changing very quickly. So I will continue to keep you guys updated. Thank you if you are listening, watching, reading this, and I hope you have a wonderful week ahead of you. I look forward to talking again soon.